All right, here we go. It's that time of the week for the Global Bob Show. The Global Bob Show, the crossroad of technology and politics. This is episode number 14, and it's titled The Hydrogen Car Hoax. That's right, I said it's a hoax. Now, this podcast is really going to fuse technology and politics because you can't have one without the other in this conversation. Now, I'd like to thank everybody that tunes in as always every week. This podcast is being moved now to be released on Tuesdays instead of Monday. And so I didn't get it uploaded yesterday, and I got a call from two separate people wanting to check in on Global Bob because the show did not get published yesterday. So here going forward, we're going to be publishing on Tuesdays. So thank you everyone that tunes in, of course, and those that share. You can submit your topics that you'd like for me to discuss either at the Facebook page, Global Bob Show, on Twitter, at Global Bob Show, or you can email me, globalbob@gmail.com. So let's dive right on into this. Now, unless you're a multi-quibillionaire, if that's even a word, then you are probably feeling the gas crunch. I mean, this gas and diesel fuel and the rest of the fuel, like jet fuel and everything, is through the roof right now. And that is due in part to some of our political decisions, which at the time we were neutral and actually exporting more fuel than what we used. But now that is not the case. So at the time of this recording, average cost of gas is $4.98. And the highest average now, no, that's not the highest. The highest that it's been is a little over $5. But today in California, the average cost of gas is $6.39. Now, man, that is crazy. And as we know, the way that our economy works, everything is based off of fuel price. So the price of gas goes up. Your yard man, if you have one of those, he's going to charge you more to mow your yard. And even if you don't have a yard man, it's going to cost you more to mow your yard. If you get something delivered, that's going to be costing you more. I know Uber Eats and Uber, they got a little fuel surcharge going on there. And it's just really putting the strain on a lot of people. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but what I read or heard is that the average couple is spending over $5,000 more a year just in cost due to these fuel increases. So we're all feeling it. You get something shipped in UPS, you take a flight somewhere. I mean, the gas pricing is really hurting a lot of people. So that's why when this happens, you see a couple things start to happen on the internet. You see people start talking about getting electric cars and utilizing electric tools more. And I say the electric tools, now we've had drills and stuff like that for quite some time that were battery operated, but you know, now they even have lawnmowers that are battery operated and chainsaws that are battery operated. And when you buy that equipment, then you don't have to pay for the fuel to go directly into the equipment. You just have to pay on your electric bill to charge it. And we could do another podcast on the actual economics of running an electric vehicle. But another thing that pops up, if not electric vehicles, and that is the water car or hydrogen cars. Now, we're going to unpack this a little bit, but this topic was submitted by my cousin. He had gotten a message on Facebook that talked about the water car and how we can just power our cars based off of water. And that's what this episode's going to be about, is how this is a real hoax. So just like when any pandemic happens or political wars, start to happen. Well, when the rise of gas goes up, people start looking for alternatives and they instantly become experts in that field. Now, I'm no expert in that field. I'm just someone that has been following renewable energy and clean energy for quite some time. So I decided to put together this podcast and explain it. Now, there's all kinds of alternatives to gasoline. Alternative fuels are not anything new. One alternative fuel that has had a real impact is the biodiesel. So pure biodiesel or B100, it does reduce the carbon emissions by about 75%. There's also things out there like ethanol. Some of our cars now burn ethanol. And we understand the nuances around ethanol. You pull up to an ethanol pump and you put in that B85 and higher ethanol. And then you get out on the interstate and you notice that your car doesn't have as much power. So there's some drawbacks to the ethanol. And there's natural gas. You can power internal combustion engines off of natural gas and propane. So there's a bunch of different options for that. Now, something I think is kind of cool with the natural gas is that that can be collected from garbage dumps and cow manure. So these dairy farms that have the cows in confined locations, they can siphon that off. You can even siphon off methane gas off of your septic tank if you have one. And people do this. I mean, you can get online and see some crazy people such as myself that hook up a siphon type system to their septic tank, and they're able to harness that methane gas and use it for heating and for cooking on. And then, of course, propane. Now, propane is still part of an oil process. A lot of the propane is what they burn off at the field. So when you see the pictures online of either the oil derelict out in the Gulf of Mexico or out in the Persian Gulf, you see that flame coming off. That's what they're burning off. They're burning off that propane. But there's vehicles that run off of propane as well. I know that the local sheriff department here, Polk Sheriff, most of their vehicles, they can either fill them with propane or they can fill them with regular fuel. And a friend of ours, way back, I think this was in the 80s or 90s, he actually had a Ford truck that he bought, and it wasn't converted to propane. It actually came with propane. And so the reason why I feel like propane really hasn't taken off is probably the same reason why the hydrogen fuel cell car hasn't taken off, because you're dealing with gases that are under immense amount of pressure, and you just don't really pull up there to any gas station and say, you know, fill it up with propane. And we're going to talk about the hydrogen fuel car here a little bit, but back to the topic. So we've had a lot of alternatives to the traditional petroleum-based gas system. But the one that has really taken the internet by storm yet again is the water car. Now, if you look it up, the water car says that it produces its power based off of hydrogen. So this isn't to be confused with the hydrogen fuel cell car. Hydrogen fuel cells are very different than what we're talking about here. So let me just tell you the difference between the two. On a hydrogen fuel cell car, you have hydrogen gas, and it's stored inside of a tank. And when you go to the station, you hook it up, and it pressurizes that tank. That tank then takes and puts the hydrogen into the anode side of a cell, and it's hollow. And on the other side of the cell, the cathode, and it has the outside air in there. And basically the way it works is that there's a catalyst, and that catalyst splits the hydrogen up. And when it splits it up into two separate pieces, the proton and the electron, well, the electron flows through a wire up and around and tries to meet up with the other side. And when it does, it comes together and it produces water. Now, that's a hydrogen fuel cell, very quick. And that's totally different than what these hoaxes are that are being sold on the internet. So there, I think there is a place for hydrogen fuel cells, but when you look at it, it's something that's creating electricity. So instead of having a battery, you have this hydrogen fuel cell that creates electricity, and that electricity is stored intermittently inside of a battery that can then be used by the wheels. So totally different than what we're talking about. What I'm talking about are these apparatuses that you can buy on eBay or Amazon, or you could make them yourself. They're actually pretty simple to make. And you basically fill them up with water, put a little bit of baking soda in there, and once you put the electrical current on them, they generate hydrogen gas. The way they do it is through electrolysis. So the energy flowing through that water will take that water molecule, the H2O, right? Splits it apart. You have hydrogen and you have oxygen. Then that bubbles come up to the top and they go into a tube. That tube takes and transports the hydrogen-oxygen mixture down into the air intake of the combustion engine. And from there, it mixes with the air and the fuel, and the spark happens. And according to them, you can run your car off of this hydrogen, but there's a lot of problems with this. I mean, we have all kinds of problems. The first major problem is that you have the laws of physics, and I say it all the time. You cannot overcome the laws of physics, no matter how much we try. And if you all still remember back when you were in physics class, there's some basic principles in play. We all know that you cannot have a perpetual motion machine. And that's kind of what you're looking for here when you put this apparatus on. You're having the machine generate the fuel to then power itself. But basically, if you have a machine, or let's just call it a system, and you do not put energy into the system from outside the system, then energy cannot be created and energy cannot be destroyed. It can only move about the system. And we know that the system is not efficient. There's tons and tons and tons of loss inside of a car. A car is a very loss system. You got friction from the tires on the road. You got friction in the crankshaft. You have friction in the transmission. And so when your car is using just petroleum-based gas, most of the energy is transferred outside the system or outside the car via heat and friction. So right there, you can see how there's no way that a system or vehicle can generate its own power. And that's essentially what we're asking it to do. So if I've not convinced you yet, I'm sure that you're probably searching Google, searching all over the place and YouTube. And just like with anything that's an internet sensation, you have both sides of the camp. Me, I put my trust in physics and thermodynamics, and I understand that this is not possible. The claims just simply are not accurate. But I haven't convinced you. So you go out and you're going to buy this bubbler system and you're going to attach it to your car. And here's where a few things are going to come in. One, your car is a very smart vehicle. You know, there's a lot of computing power in there, and your car is constantly measuring the air. Now, I'm old enough to remember a time way back in the day when my dad used to work on his Chevy Nova, and that Nova did not have a computer system in there. And so you would have to tune it up. You would have to adjust the air mixture that's going into the engine. So if you took the car up into the mountains, then you would have to lean it out, and if you come down the mountain, you'd have to richen it up. Now, I'm not a gearhead. I think that's what happens when you go up, you lean it. When you When you come down, you're riching it up. But your car these days is constantly measuring that and making those adjustments. So now you're going to put highly flammable hydrogen and oxygen into that air intake, and your car's computer system is going to try to compensate for that. So the first thing that these folks do if they hook this up to any modern car is that they have to disable parts of the computer system. Now, they'll sell you some chips along with your little magic bubbler that will do some of this for you. But, you know, take it to the dealership and they hook up the code plug, they're going to see there's issues with it. Not to mention that once you bypass the fuel system that's constantly adjusting the air mixture, you're going to have to lean out that vehicle, or your vehicle will lean out. And you can cause damage to your cylinder heads, and you can cause damage to your spark plugs, and you hope one of those don't break off. Well, if all of that stays together, then the other part is that hydrogen gas is highly corrosive. So when you're pumping in this hydrogen, if you can get enough hydrogen in there to start running, the flame on hydrogen is much hotter. Now you run the risk of causing damage because of the heat and also the corrosion of the parts inside your vehicle. So you're still not convinced. You don't care about the corrosion. You don't care about bypassing your computer system there. Now, I did mention this a little bit and talking about the hydrogen running much hotter. Well, that's because it has a lot higher flammability to it, and it has a lower ignition to spark and actually ignite. So you're going to put this bomb of sorts up under the hood of your car. There's all kinds of things that can happen. You could actually get, because of the hydrogen being less dense than the fuel, if you get a backfire, that backfire could travel its way all the way up the tube and cause your car to explode. I would like to be a fly on the wall when you call your insurance company to explain why you got hood damage, and the adjuster comes out and takes a look and asks what happened up under the hood. And of course, they're going to know that you had something that was on the car. And maybe if you tell them it's hydrogen, then they're not going to approve your claim. This is all just really, really, really bad stuff. But it does warrant some investigation, just so you can laugh at some of the people that are out there that do this. Now, when you look at this hydrogen water car, there have been people in the past that make these claims, and one of them was a fella by the name of Stanley Meyer. Now, Stanley Meyer is really to the hydrogen internal combustion engine car, the water car, as we call it. He's kind of the godfather of this. And he was a very smart man. Don't get me wrong. He worked on some of the NASA projects. Claim is, I think he had like over 200,000 patents. I mean, that's a lot of patents, 200,000 patents. Very smart guy. And he made these claims about a water cell. Now, according to Stanley, he was able to have a buggy that would run off of this system that I had talked to you about earlier, and he could drive this across the country. But there's all these rumors around how he died. He died in 1998, and you know, when you look at it, I don't know. People claim that he was assassinated, essentially, that's the word to use, because he had something that could put the oil and gas companies out of business. Now, in 1998, he was at a Cracker Barrel with his brother, I believe the story goes, and he was meeting up with some of the Belgian folks, and he ordered some cranberry juice. And when he drank some of the cranberry juice, he started throwing up very violently. And he grabbed his throat and told his brother that they had poisoned him. So it was him and his brother and two Belgian folks there at a Cracker Barrel. But the autopsy shows that he actually had an aneurysm, I believe, in the brain, and that's what he died from. But, you know, the story that the internet talks about, that he was assassinated because of his invention here, the water car. There's also here recently another guy that the news folks interviewed that was later, I think, shot. And people claim that that was because he was very close to this water car. Lots of good stuff out there. That's not good stuff, but lots of good stuff out there as far as the research into how this water car works. But here at the Global Bob Show, I just want to tell my listeners that go out and try it. Hopefully you don't burn up your engine. And if not, at least you got something that can make some hydrogen. Maybe you can fill up balloons for a party or something with it. But, you know, just be aware that as the price of gas continues to go up, that there's going to be many of these things that come out. But still, we cannot bend the laws of physics. Therefore, we cannot have a machine that can create its own electricity that then creates its own hydrogen. There's just way too many losses in the various components, and there's just not really a way around it. Now, I do believe that we will have alternative fuel vehicles outside of just electricity. There's been some very wild things back in the 50s. One that was pretty cool was Ford. I believe it was in 1958. Ford actually had a prototype, plans to build a nuclear-powered vehicle. That's right, nuclear-powered vehicle, which I think that's pretty neat. And basically, it was a steam engine. And if you look it up, it was called the Ford Nucleon. And this Nucleon had the passengers sitting way forward. I think they even sat forward than the front wheels. And that was because the car was so heavy, they with a nuclear reactor in the back, that they had to balance it out. And it was also lead lined. So I think we have enough problems cleaning up oil spills when trucks flip over and cars and stuff. I don't want to have to clean up any nuclear spills at the intersection here. So I think there, you know, one day could be other alternatives to that. Now, we already know that the solar energy that then charges a car is pretty neat and clean, but there's also a lot of waste around creating those solar panels. There's also talks of basically creating these small nuclear reactors. Some of them can be as small as a thumb. And you can do your research on this. And this is basically where they take the old nuclear waste from power plants and they encase it in a man-made industrial diamond. And then that diamond and nuclear waste react with each other to create electricity. So that's not a thermonuclear. This is the actual creating of electrons from the nuclear material interacting with a diamond. Now, looking at that technology, you know, it would really revolutionize a lot of things, but not just for transportation. It looks like that there's a company out in California that's really close to this, and what they would use it for is for pacemakers and other devices like insulin pumps and stuff, where they got to have constant energy, but not a lot of energy, but they could use these small nuclear diamond waste chips, I guess that's what you want to call it, to generate power so people don't have to go through multiple surgeries. But I've done a little digging into that. And one of the main problems that I see is that these devices would have to be 100% recyclable. Like you would have to basically, like they need to put some rules around that you have to recycle this, not just, you know, recycle it if you want to, because you would be throwing the nuclear material in the trash can. And also too, I was thinking about this is that, what if you could have a cell phone that never needed a charging port on it at all because it could run off of this type of material? So you know, we can't say that we won't ever have a car that runs off of some other type of material. But just to bring this all back together, I know gas is through the roof. I know that everybody's looking for ways to save money, but these water cars and converting an internal combustion engine to run off of hydrogen, that's just not it. So don't go putting this on your 2022 Mercedes. Which brings me to another point. You know, if this technology was available and it gave, you know, an upper hand on fuel economy and stuff, you know that the companies would be doing this. I mean, the car manufacturers, whoever has the best miles per gallon is the one that people are going to go for. I mean, that's why you're seeing people go to electric cars now, because if you do the economics on electric car, if you're in short distances, then it is more efficient to run it off of electric. But I may do a whole nother podcast just on the electric car, because there's a lot of nuances around those. Being a longtime electric vehicle driver, I can tell you all the good and all the bad with it. But all right, well, we're at the bottom of the half hour, so I know this was kind of technical and we took a deep dive in there, but it's something that I wanted to get ahead of and make sure that everybody is well aware that you don't want to be strapping these hydrogen producing gaseous bubblers up under the hood of your car, because there's just way too much that can go wrong with it. All right, well, as always, thanks for tuning in, and you can reach me via the Facebook page, Twitter, or you can send me an email. And with that, I'll see you next week.